It's nice to be here tonight. It's wonderful to see all of you. I want to thank Mrs. Katz for coordinating the program and setting this all up and running the whole Neely organization, which she does so superbly. I hope that I fully understood what it is that I'm supposed to speak about this evening. I understand that you're launching into a new area of limud for study, and it's specifically studying about why you're studying, which is Hilchos Talmud Torah. Hilchos Talmud Torah is very fundamental to everything that we do. Really, the entire Jewish people and the foundations of our religion are premised upon the Mamad Har Sinai experience in which we receive the Torah. We are a people of the book, as Rav Sadra Gaon famously said in his groundbreaking philosophical work, Emunos Videos, that the Jewish people is only a people through its toros, through the Torah that we learn and that we live and that we study and we apply. This is what keeps us together as a people. This is what has enabled us to persevere throughout all of the generations. It's one of the famous explanations that's given as to the meaning of the statement that the Gemara derives from the pasuk of Vayiskatzvu b'sachtis ha'har, that the Jewish people stood at the foot of the mountain at Har Sinai when we received the Torah. So the Gemara derives from that interesting wording that Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dangled the mountain over our heads like a giant, vast tub, and said that if you're going to keep the words of the Torah, then mutav, that's all fine and good. Vimlav, and if not, sham tehek v'rastem, then that place is going to be your burial. It sounds like the mountain was going to be dropped basically on top of our heads. So the question is, shouldn't it say kan tehek v'rastem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to us at that point in time. We should have said, well, this is going to be the end of you if you don't accept the Torah. So the explanation that I've always heard is sham, meaning at that moment in time. This is how Rav Soloveitchik explained it. When you would not be keeping the Torah, in whatever point in your history is going to be, in whatever exile, in whatever part of the diaspora, whatever part of your experience as a nation, if you stop keeping the Torah, right now, of course, you're going to keep the Torah. But if at any point in history, sham tehek v'rastem, then there in that place, that's going to be the end of the Jewish people, not our enemies. They're not going to be successful at destroying us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be matzilenu miyadam, but what's going to be the only source of our undoing, our kryptonite, so to speak, that's if we don't hold on to the Torah. So obviously, Talmud Torah is the major foundation and cornerstone and source of our lifeblood as a people. It's extremely essential that we have an appreciation and understanding of how to go about the exercise of learning Torah and of transmitting Torah properly. The Rambam understands there's one mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It incorporates learning the Torah and transmitting the Torah to future generations. The Smak, Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos, understood that there were two aspects. One is that you learn Torah, and the other is that you transmit it. But they're two separate mitzvos. But we understand, according to the Rambam, the idea of limatemos sam es that it really is a mitzvah of transmission. We're supposed to transmit the Torah from generation to generation. We're not going to be able to transmit the Torah properly unless we learn the Torah first. So it's almost like built in to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the idea that the learning itself is a hechsher mitzvah. I have my Rebbe, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, likes to say, we sometimes have an expression, l'ilmod amenas l'lamed, that we learn Torah in order to be able to teach Torah properly to others. But he turns it around a little bit and points out that maybe the idea that we have to be able to teach Torah properly is also a way of codifying and understanding the nature of our obligation to learn Torah in the first place, which is that it is, the Lamed, he says, Amanas Lilmod. When you know that you have to teach something very studiously and very accurately and very successfully to others, so that forces you to learn a lot better. Now, a conundrum in all of this, I'm speaking to a women's audience, is that technically there's no Mitzvah Talmud Torah, it would seem, with respect to women. The Gemara says, you teach your sons, you don't have to teach your daughters. Those who teach are themselves obligated in the mitzvah. The Gemara has a whole lengthy analysis in Maseches Kiddushin, in which it comes to the conclusion, women have no obligation to learn the Torah, they have no obligation to teach the Torah. So that makes it a more interesting question as to how it is that the women in particular should approach the mitzvah and the halachos of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. What exactly is it that maybe is different, is the same when you're engaged in the exercise of learning the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, if it's primarily a mitzvah which devolves upon men? So there's a famous piece in the commentary of the Beis Halevi Ala Torah. She talks about the peculiarity of the wording of Naseh V'Nishma. You know, that's the flip side of now. On the one hand, we accept Torah through coercion. On the other hand, we accept Torah voluntarily. There are all kinds of answers, explanations. Maybe we accepted Torah Shebaktav, but voluntarily Torah Shebaal Peh had to be coerced, at least until Kimu V'Kiblu, until we had a new voluntary acceptance of Torah Shebaal Peh during the days of Mordechai V'Esther. Whatever the explanation, certainly a large part of our acceptance at Har Sinai of the Torah was a voluntary one. It was Naseh V'Nishma. Naseh means we're going to do. Nishma means let's find that afterwards what it is that we're supposed to do. So that seems like it's the wrong order. First, you got to know what to do in order to do it properly. So what's the idea of Naseh V'Nishma? You know, part of the idea is that it's always a learning experience, that there's always more to learn with respect to Torah. Whatever you know, there's always a lot more that you need to know. When we have a modern-day Kabbalah, so mitzvahs, acceptance of the Yoke of Commandments, or somebody wants to enter into the Jewish faith, just like our ancestors entered into the Jewish faith at the time of Har Sinai. So we convert people to Judaism. I sit on a Beis Din where we convert people on a regular basis. I perform the conversion of three individuals just earlier this week. Very powerful experience, a reenactment of Maamad Har Sinai. So we ask the converts when they're in the water about to immerse, do you accept all 613 mitzvahs? So I point out that means mitzvahs that you already know about, but you also have to accept mitzvahs you don't necessarily know about yet. That's the idea of Naseh V'Nishma. I accept, I'm going to do, even though V'Nishma, I know that I may not have heard everything yet. There may be mitzvahs I haven't learned, but I know it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe that it's something that we're all commanded to do, and therefore I take upon myself to do it. That's part of the story. The Beis Halevi explains another wrinkle. He says that there's a separate connotation with respect to Naseh V'Nishma in the following sense. Naseh means that you're going to learn that which is necessary to learn in order to perform the mitzvahs that you need to do. Once you know what the halakhos are, you can go out and perform the mitzvahs. You've satisfied your obligation. Nishma means that in addition to that which you need to know in order to perform the mitzvahs, there's a separate standalone obligation to learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah, even if it's not for practical application. He said the first aspect relates to women. Women only have to learn that which is necessary with respect to the mitzvahs that are incumbent upon them to perform. That's plenty. You could spend an entire lifetime just doing that and more. So no shortage of an obligation of Talmud Torah stemming from Naseh. But men have the additional obligation of Nishma that they have to learn even sugyos and Gemara and even aspects of Torah that may not relate to practical application, that may relate to more profound and nuanced understandings of Torah. Women don't have an obligation in that regard. Do they have a prerogative in that regard? So that says the Shulchan Aruch, sure. Isha shalom de Torah yesh l'skar. Woman who learns Torah, she gets a reward for learning Torah. V'lo k'skar yish. not the same reward that a man receives, but she's not considered to be commanded. This is the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Simen Reish Mem Vav. She's only commanded to learn that which she has to do, but otherwise she doesn't have an independent commandment, so therefore she doesn't get the same amount of reward. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin says women potentially get a greater reward if they spur their husbands and sons to go and fulfill their obligation of Talmud Torah, which is a stronger, greater, more extensive obligation of Talmud Torah. They'll go to Shir, they'll go to the Beis Medrash, they'll go to Shul. So she gets, those women are referred to based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Noshim Shanonos, the trailblazing women that are described in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. So they get a tremendous reward. In that regard, we know the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who went out and learned for 24 years, and he said to his Talmidim that when they saw this bedraggled woman who had given up everything in her life so her husband could become a big Talmid Chacham, he said, Shalib b'shalach b'shalach, that everything that I have, that you have in terms of my learning, belongs to her. Okay, that's one aspect. But in addition to the mesivas nefesh of enabling others to learn, so women also can learn on their own. There is a troubling shita, it seems, in the Mishnah in Sota, which the Daf Yomi, coincidentally or serendipitously, by Hashkacha, happens to be up to just right now as we're having the Shir, Daf Chof Aleph, in Maseches Sota, which is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Kol HaMalabid Bito Torah Lomda Tiflus, that anybody who teaches his daughter Torah, so he's teaching her something deficient, something which either is considered to be deficient from an intellectual standpoint because it's not going to be sufficiently detailed as a full yeshiva education, or tiflus could stand for immorality, that it could be used in a way that would be ill-advised, speaking specifically about a woman who goes through a soto ordeal and knows that if she has certain zuchuyos merits, she's not going to die right away. Okay, so what do you do with that statement of Rabbi Eliezer? It's contradicted by Ben Azai, who says, no problem teaching a daughter Torah. So comes along Rabbi Yeshua Falk, a 17th century personality. He says, yeah, that's if you're going to beat up your daughter and teach her Torah when she doesn't want to. She's not obligated to. There are plenty of other things she's obligated to do. She doesn't have to do this. But Bam Lamda Le'atzma, you have a woman who's motivated on her own, Shiyatza Me'erov. So you see that, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? It says, Tzibu Chazal Shleyam, Shleyam in Adam is Bito Torah. Don't teach your daughter Torah. Menei Shirov and Hashem in Da'aitim and Kubanus Le'islamed. That they're not going to be focused sufficiently upon it. They're going to misinterpret it potentially. He says that's true of the majority. He says the Prisha, somebody can be an exception to the majority. A woman is self-motivated, so then she gets a scar, and that's a fine thing. So she says that. So he says the Prisha that if a woman decides on her own. So then it's perfectly fine for her to learn independently. It comes along with the Torah Tamima, Rabbi Boach Epstein wrote a commentary to the Torah, famous commentary about less than 100 years ago. So he quotes from a sefer called Mayan Ganim. Mayan Ganim was a very early Achron, several hundred years ago. And he says that if you have women who are really motivated to learn Torah, so then they should be encouraged and they should be fortified and they should be assisted in terms of their quest to become great Torah scholars like Bruria and Yalta and many others whom we know of from throughout the centuries. Amna menashim eshenadav liban osan lekavel amalacham alechas Hashem mitzav b'chirasan. What they want to do they will be on the highest echelons of holiness and sanctity, because they're Wonder Women. There's a comic book or something, I think, called Wonder Woman. This is the original Wonder Woman. It says they're Wonder Women, all the Jewish women who are learning Torah on the highest level. So they're Wonder Women, and they should be encouraged, and they should be supported, and that they should be accommodated. And that's what the Torah Tzemima supports very, very strongly. Furthermore, Zalman Sarotskin, really a great, great rabbinic authority of the past century. So he wrote as well in his sefer, Maznayim of the Torah, he said, what does the Gemara say with respect to this idea of teaching a woman tiflus? So he says, it says, the Gemara says, it's not actual tiflus, it's not actual immorality, it's ki'ilu lom de tiflus, it's borderline in that direction. So he said, better do something which is borderline than actual tiflus. He says, nowadays, you have exposure to all kinds of academic disciplines. You have exposure to all kinds of social realities. You have exposure, I could say, nowadays to social media and all kinds of things which are actually tiflus, which are actually demeaning, which are actually corrosive, which are debilitative. In terms of their corrosive effect on a person's moral fiber. So he says, if you're not going to be inspiring women with proper Torah study, so then they're really going to stray off. In his day, 40 years ago, Kal Vachomer, nowadays, they're really going to stray off with actual tiflus. So therefore, he says that it's a totally, totally different story nowadays. That's one of the justifications, of course, for the creation of the Beis Yaakov school system that we know was very much endorsed by the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim, in his commentary to Maseches Sota, to today's daf, in fact, it happens to be on today's daf, the Chafetz Chaim has a sefer, and he says that the lack of women's education was, he said, Nima dechol zedak b'zmanim shelefaneinu. That made sense in all the generations before ours. He wrote this about 100 years ago. The tradition you'd receive in your own household would be very, very strong. To follow in the same paths as your fathers and your mothers. And so forth. He says, but nowadays, that household atmosphere, he's talking in Europe. People talk about the good old days in Europe. They weren't so good. They were, things were weakening very, very badly in many, many places. And sometimes and people would leave their homes and they go off to environments that weren't holy at all. And then they get involved with the culture of the nations around them. So he says, "Bevadai mitzvah rabba l'olam dam chumash v'gam neviim miksuvim." So he says, it's a big mitzvah to teach chumash and neviim miksuvim and musrei chazal, maseches avos, etc., etc. He doesn't talk about Torah Shebaal Peh, doesn't talk about Gemara learning, he's just talking about a structured educational environment. Now, the idea of learning on a Torah Shebaal Peh, a type of limud, is something which Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and others picked up really from a comment of the Ramah. Because the Ramah says, mikol makom, and this brings us right back to where we started, chayev ha'isha limud dinim ha'shayachim li'isha. Women have to learn halachos that are relevant to a woman. That's why the Be'er Halacha explains the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Mem Zayin, that a woman makes a bracha when you wake up in the morning. You make Berachos HaShachar, included is Berachos HaTorah. We just said women are exempt from learning Torah. So he says, what do you mean women are exempt? Women are obligated to learn the halachos that pertain to them. That's why they make a Berachos HaTorah. Comes along the Vilna Gaon says, nah, that can't be. They're exempt from Torah. That's functional. They have to do the mitzvahs. They learn Torah, but that's not a real mitzvah of Talmud Torah that they're obligated to do. The reason they make a bracha is because they have the right. We're Ashkenazim. Many of us, according to Ashkenazic tradition, women have a right to volunteer to make a bracha on any mitzvah. They shake a lulav, they sit in a sukkah, they hear the shofar, they can volunteer to make a bracha. So they ask on the Vilna Gaon, that's good, that's the Ramah's opinion. But even the Machaber says that a woman makes a bracha on Talmud Torah. Famous shita of the Briskarov, in his Chidushim on the Rambam, quotes from his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He says, you know why a woman makes a bracha on Torah? Because it's the Torah deserves a bracha. There's something so special and glorious and beautiful and exemplary about the Torah. It's what keeps our entire nation together. It's like a birkas, a shevach. Like a bracha. How could you not make a bracha on Torah. How could you not praise and give glory for the Torah? But you can understand Chaim Soloveitchik the same way as the Be'er Halacha has said within what the Mama said. A woman's obligated. A woman has a connection to Torah, not only through the learning of the men in her life, but she has a connection to Torah. Al titosh Torah simecha, in terms of learning the Torah for her own edification, to do the mitzvahs that she has to do. And Reval Nachmanstein explains further, what is one of the mitzvahs that everybody's obligated to do? Yiras Hashem. Is Yiras Hashem fear of God, reverence of the Almighty? Is that only in the province of men? Not in the province of women. Women also have an obligation to come closer to their Creator, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live in a world in which there are so many forces and so many influences that can take a person away from Yiras Shamayim, particularly if they're studying other subjects and understanding other things on a very sophisticated level. Then in such an atmosphere, such a world, it's extremely important, says Rav Aaron, other members of the Soloveitchik family as well, that a woman should learn Torah on a very sophisticated level, so she could see the sophistication of Torah, that it is as great and greater than all the other disciplines and studies of the world, and that will enable her to have the proper measure of Yiras Shamayim. So therefore, it becomes necessary to teach women Torah on a high level for purposes of Yiras Shamayim. Absolutely, I'm running out of time. I was given 25 minutes, and we're now at 9:25, but we started 2 minutes late, so I'll go 2 minutes more. So absolutely a riveting statement by Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. He was asked by the head of the BJE, the Board of Jewish Education, or such a thing. I think there still is, maybe. I met with them 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if they still exist. Hope maybe they do. So he wrote a letter to Rabbi Lenny Rosenfeld, who was then the head of the BJE. This was in 1953. The Rav was about 50 years old at that point in time. He was asked about developing a curriculum. What type of Torah learning should be provided for the women? So he said, as to your question with regard to a curriculum in a co-educational school, he founded such a school in Boston. Question as to, you know, nowadays, it's not the model that's necessary anymore, and there are many advantages of not having a co-educational school. We don't have to go into that. But he said, I expressed my opinion to you long ago that it would be a very regrettable oversight on our part if we were to arrange separate Hebrew courses for girls. Not only is the teaching of Torah Shebaal Peh to girls permissible, but it is nowadays an absolute imperative. This policy of discrimination between the sexes as the subject matter and method of instruction, which is still advocated by certain groups within our Orthodox community, has contributed greatly to the deterioration and downfall of traditional Judaism. Boys and girls alike should be introduced into the inner halls of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's not for purposes of forcing anything down someone's throats, but it's for the purpose of demonstrating the beauty and the glory of Torah. That's something which should be done for all the B'nai Yisrael and all the B'nos Yisrael as well, in order to enable everyone to achieve a high level of Yiras Shamayim. We're told that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is greater than all the other mitzvahs. As the Rambam explains, that Talmud may be the day ma'aser, because Talmud is what leads to Mises. The Torah learning is what leads to Torah living. So it's extremely important. Men, women, boys, girls alike, to embark upon the endeavor of not only learning Torah, but having an appreciation of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And I give you all a tremendous bracha. You should have a great haslacha. And you're delving into all of the intricacies of Hilchos Talmud Torah in the weeks ahead. So, Hatzlacha Rabba to all of you.